I just want to take a couple of minutes, and I'm just going to really briefly share something. All the kids are staying in the service. We're going to sing a few carols together, and it will be the end of our service this morning. You guys, I am so happy that you guys got to come and tell us again the Christmas story and lead us in singing some songs and celebrating that. One of my favorite verses about Scripture, little passages about Christmas that I find in Scripture is way back in Isaiah. And Isaiah was what you call a prophet. So a long time before it happened, God showed him what was going to happen. And he wrote this down. And he says this in chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. When he's telling the nation Israel, the children of God, for unto us, and we know from the New Testament, us includes everybody, that he came for all. The good news that I want to share with you right off the bat this morning is that if you don't know Jesus, or you don't really understand the purpose of Christmas, the thing that we're celebrating and why we're going to all this fuss, it's because something came that was for us, and it was really important. And so you can just put your name in there, for unto, put your name in, and you guys can put your name in. A son was born, a child was given, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. Goes on to say in verse 6, and he will be called. Now, maybe this is a better way to say it. And this is what they'll say about him. And here's what he'll be known for. His names, some of the things he'll be called. And it starts with this, Wonderful Counselor. For me, this means a lot. How many of you know what to do in every situation in life right now? Anyone? How many of you have instant perspective in everything that you face in making good decisions? Anyone? Anyone? How many of you are so glad that God's name is Wonderful Counselor? The one who gives us perspective, the one who gives wisdom and grants to us wisdom, the one who provides guidance. A perspective beyond mine when I look into our world. A wisdom beyond mine when I have choices to make, and a guidance that I can count on based on truth. Now, so his first name that they say he will be called, one of the things they'll say about him is he's a Wonderful Counselor. Which means as we have personal relationship with him, we can ask and he'll guide us and we can look into his word and it will give us wisdom. The second thing is it calls him Mighty God. I'm so glad that everything doesn't depend on me. I mean, how many of you guys have made a commitment? You said, I'm going to make my bed, or I'm going to do this, and it doesn't happen. You forget. You try and do something in your own strength. Don't tell anybody, but mom and dad would say the same thing. They've made tons of resolutions, and they've set out with good intentions, and plans have kind of fallen apart. They've wanted to just, isn't it awesome that this present that's for us, for unto us, is born? Not only a counselor that we can count on, but a mighty God who spoke the world into being, a mighty God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, a mighty God who is above all and over all and able in all situations. And that means he's able to give me a certain hope, even when I don't understand what's happening right around me. Well, it goes on to say, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, what else? It says, Everlasting Father. Wow. Now, we're all born with this desire, this want, this need to have a relationship with our dad, yeah? And the earthly fathers, we kind of let you down sometimes. I'm one and I know all about it. But I know that I long for gentle care, provision, protection. I long to spend time with my dad. And it tells us that we now have an everlasting Father. The promise is that in Jesus and through what he does on the cross, something happens. When we start relationship with God, we now belong to the family of God, fully adopted sons and daughters of God. It tells us in God's word we're protected, we're loved, he's the giver of good things, and that it's eternal or everlasting, which means it's not only for this earth, but beyond this earth. That's pretty exciting, eh? So we got a wonderful counselor, we got mighty God. He's totally more powerful than anything you can imagine, and he's able to do. We have an everlasting Father, that this isn't a relationship that ends, and he's preparing a home for us even beyond this earth. And then it uses this term, Prince of Peace. Now, you guys read the story, and you know that the angels, when they came, said to the shepherds that were gathered, peace on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. That somehow the idea that we were no longer estranged from God and that reconciliation with God, that sin didn't prevent us from having relationship with God, that's wrapped up in there. But if we understand our world history, we know that during the time Jesus was born, people were under occupation. In fact, Mary and Joseph had to travel just because the ruler of the day decreed everybody had to return to their hometown and register. And you had an empire that was sweeping through and taking everybody over, and they weren't really free, and there was a lot of really difficult things happening. In fact, after Jesus was born, he was mercifully spared when Herod killed all the kids under a certain age. What does it look like to celebrate the Prince of Peace in a situation like that? Well, the Bible promises us something that I think that our word doesn't encapsulate. You see, the word shalom, translated peace, would have the idea of being at rest in the middle of a storm. It would have the idea of an inner wholeness or completeness, somehow making complete or making right something inside, regardless of the external circumstances. And Jesus was the Prince of Peace, that peace with God and rest in the midst of difficult times would be ours through what Christ did. I don't know if you, like me, are having a difficult time with the events of our world. This past week, evil, and that could be the only word, touched a whole bunch of homes and lives. And lots of people are asking the question, where is God in that? It's a tragedy and it's senseless. Why didn't he prevent it? I can't answer that question. I know he's mighty and he could have. But I know the very thing that grieves us today, evil and mankind doing evil to mankind, was the thing that compelled God. We love to say Jesus is the reason for the season and he is who we celebrate. But a friend of mine penned this, and he penned it well. He said, in another sense, we can say sin is the reason for this season. That our sin and the evil in our world motivated the loving Father to take action and to send his Son, to be born the only non-evil person, untainted by sin, to live a truly righteous and good life, and to die in our place as a sacrifice, taking the penalty of our evil and being raised to new life, conquering death and evil through resurrection. How does God respond to the great evil in our world? Well, he sent his Son. He didn't hide from it. He didn't wipe us out. But he came to rescue us or to redeem us in it. And we see God's love and his response in the birth of Christ, his life and his death for our sin, and in the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. So today, I want you to celebrate with us. We're going to sing some Christmas carols, but before we do any of that, I want you to pray with me as we remember those who grieve and sorrow because of evil, knowing that our Father in heaven cares, and that he can provide for them what they can't have for themselves that in his might and in his divinity, he can comfort them, he can sustain them, and he can give to them the impossible peace in a difficult, difficult time. Let's pray. So, Father, we bow today in this place in Cold Lake, grateful that we serve a mighty, divine God, and that we can pray across the miles, and that you are at work everywhere. We pray for those today who grieve because evil is touched. They suffer loss. They suffer heartache and tragedy. And Father, we just ask that you divinely reach down into their lives. Your word tells us that you are the God of all comfort, and we ask for comfort that they couldn't explain. Send to them people to say the right things, but do a work in their hearts where they would know your nearness and your closeness and your love in the midst of their sorrow. Send to them the peace that passes the understanding of mankind. Not a forgetting, but Lord, an embracing, a healing, a wholeness. Would you restore unto them that which Satan is trying to use to destroy? And thirdly, Lord, we pray in this twisted world that somehow this would be used for your glory. That sounds funny, but Lord, when Satan meant to destroy your son, you used it for our salvation. And often what's meant for destruction, you can use. And so we pray that in all of this, your love and your redemption would be found by those who seek and who look. And so we just want to join our hearts across the miles and pray for them, and all God's people said. Amen. Stand and sing some carols with us as we celebrate with the kids.